Let's go.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Once again to the Ed Springson Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringson.com. Also home, of course, of this, your favorite radio show. For you guys that are new to the show, you can make sure you call in at 58-683-1326, 502-805-0334. For you guys already in the listening queue, make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad, and we'll get you on air as soon as we can. And for everybody else, if you want to, just go ahead and sign into the show and jump in the chat room and let your voice be heard. As always, I look forward to Wednesday nights, and I tell you why. Dale the Truth, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, man. I tell you, we got a lot to talk about tonight, I know. We're going to get into all of the local races and things like that. We're also going to talk about the State of the Union from last night. There are a couple of things I really want to put out real quick before we go down that road, because it's going to take most of this show. Interestingly enough, you know, we've been hearing so much over the last few months about the housing market has come down, it's come back, and everybody's buying houses these days. WDRB is reporting that that's not true, that the housing market, especially here in Louisville, has basically dried up. And the reason for it is flood insurance. Yes. What used to cost about $650 a year is now going to cost about $7,000 a year because the government decided after the hurricanes that the flood money was dried up, so they're going to rape everybody in the world to get it. Well, it's one of the things they're talking about in Congress today, but it's something that we need to be careful and watch. And I want to get into some controversy involving Matt Bevin and the Tea Party. And I waited till tonight specifically to talk about that because you're on the show tonight. So, right. You know, I appreciate that.
But no controversy here at all, right, on Wednesday night.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though, because, you know, I know that you're a Matt Bevin supporter. I like the fact that Mitch McConnell has someone to be against. I like having that choice. But, you know, one of the things that's been going on since the very beginning is the media has been portraying Matt Bevin as the Tea Party candidate. And what we've got now is Indiana resident Greg Fettig, who apparently is with Unbridled Liberty, was quoted in the Huffington Post as saying that President Obama is a Muslim communist, he's not a Christian, there's a war on Christianity. I mean, you know, all the ultra-right-wing things you can say. And they went after Matt Bevin because Matt Bevin is Tea Party. So they're trying to tie him into those negative comments. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my first instinct would be to respond the same way that Matt Bevin did. That is, he's got so many volunteers. And I remember listening in on his conference calls just a month or so ago. Every week, more and more people were adding to the volunteer list. And I would stick to what Matt Bevin said, which is he can't control and doesn't pretend to control everybody who volunteers for him. It's one of those things. He's not employing them. He's not paying them. Volunteers are just that. I mean, there are a lot of candidates out there that probably wouldn't want me to volunteer for them either, but they don't control who volunteers for them.
Well, you know, and I think that's the thing right there, because volunteers are just that, volunteers. You have to have people walk door to door. You have to have people make phone calls on your behalf. You have to have people passing out flyers at the malls, wherever you're at. You know, so, I mean, people want to volunteer to help your campaign. That doesn't mean that they're part of the campaign. And in this particular case, I agree with Matt Bevin, and I think the media is just trying to create controversy where there is none. You know, his exact statement was, I can't begin to speak for them. The nature of the campaign is that it attracts a lot of supporters and will continue to. The one thing about the First Amendment is that we give people the ability to voice their opinion, whether I agree with them or not. I think that's probably one of the best things I've heard him put out to the media yet. You know, so I agree with him. What was interesting, though, he said he had raised $900,000 in the last quarter of 2019. He's also received endorsement from some prominent PACs like the Madden Project and Freeforce. He thinks he's going to be able to raise about $1 million total, you know, which will give him enough money to buy ads. You know, and he also was very clear. He doesn't plan to self-finance his campaign. He described it as he just campaigned $600,000 in August because he didn't find the pump. I want something there. He's not going to self-fund. If people in Kentucky want him to be elected, then they're going to get behind him, and that's one way to do it. I actually agree with that. So I thought that was a pretty interesting statement as well. You?
Oh, I agree, and I'll go back to something you said earlier at the beginning of the show. You said that, you know, talking about how McConnell's got an opponent and someone who's going to hold his feet to the fire. What I think will be interesting, now that we did have a filing deadline yesterday, we now see that McConnell has four Republican opponents, and it's been an interesting dichotomy because nobody on the Republican Party side who's official wants to have anything with Bevin. They would not allow him to be in their state fair booth. I mean, the new chairman can make up whatever BS he wants in Jefferson County. They would not let him in the county booth. They did have those phone calls going out from the headquarters for Mitch McConnell. So we see the county and state party don't want to give Matt Bevin a fighting chance. And the mainstream media, they're kind of iffy. So I guess my big question, and a long way of saying it, is if you see what little attention they've given the guy who could take down the Senate minority leader, are they going to give any attention to the other four Republicans who have filed?
Well, I honestly think that's an interesting paradox, because why do you think the other Republicans filed? Clearly, to me, what this does is it tells me that Mitch McConnell was worried about a one-on-one head-to-head race Matt Bevin, so the Republican Party put a couple of people raise votes. Do you agree with that?
Ed, are you inferring that the powers that be would ever run interference putting an extra horse in a race that couldn't win? I'm shocked that there's gambling going on at this establishment.
Well, let me be real clear here, Dale. You know damn good what I'm inferring. I'm not inferring it. I'm saying it.
Well, I don't know how many of those are the interference. I agree it's probably happening. I think there are five of them. If you count Edison, Mitchell, Jerome McConnell Jr., and Matt Bevin, there's three other ones. So I don't know if they're all in the free interference. I mean, I heard a little bit of Paul Holliger calling your show last night, and I thought it was fascinating to listen to y'all tell the truth about how the Democratic Party has always done this by running interference, but the Republican Party usually tells everybody, just don't run, it's McConnell's, you're supposed to bow down and worship him.
Well, you know, that does seem to be the set I do. You know, it is interesting to me, though, that we're going down this road. You know, it was fascinating to me because the Republican Party, I'm really disappointed in right now, and I'll tell you why. We have a problem, some of the things. I know you've got a big problem with the Republican Party. I get that. But for me, I'm kind of one of those, you know, going to do what I'm going to do. I'm not this traditionalist who believes in a party part of the set of times because I think both parties are one and the same, as we've talked about many times. But yet, here in Louisville, we had a great opportunity that was wasted. What he says about Greg Fisher, he's unpopular. He has alienated the West End. He's alienated the African-American community. He's alienated the South End. The only strength he has is the East End, and he barely won the last election against Republican Heiner. It was a great opportunity to put me up against him. And for me, it was an opportunity that was missed. Now, I want to say this and make this clear. Yes, I know there is a Republican fight against Greg Fisher yesterday. But his name is Bob DeVore.
Oh, gosh.
This guy, in my opinion, is a nut job. Most people think he's a nut job. He's run for every office in the world, and everybody looks at him and laughs because he can't be taken seriously.
Well, let me ask you
like
a question.
Connie Marshall.
Go ahead. You're cutting out pretty bad, Ed. I hope the audience is hearing you better than I am. I'm hearing most of the words. But let me ask you this about Bob DeVore and the filing process. You tell me if I'm right or wrong about this. When someone files for an office, and let's say someone decides to withdraw their nomination for office, don't they have to go back down to the same place where they filed? I'm asking this for a reason. But don't they have to go back physically to the same place to withdraw their nomination?
To my knowledge, all you have to do is send in a letter. You don't have to go personally.
Okay, I just wonder because Bob DeVore had filed, and I can't remember what district he was in, but he had filed at some point in Frankfort, so I know he had to at least go down to Frankfort to file to run for a state legislature seat. So I thought it was interesting that on the same day that he was, he filed to run for mayor, the same day that he withdrew his nomination to run for state legislature. So I don't think he has a shot in hell winning either one, but I was thinking maybe that meant he had to drive to Frankfort, withdraw, then drive back to Barrett Avenue. I wasn't sure how that worked.
Well, I understand that. I mean, he had to, take care of this.
If he had filed for state rep and he had delusions of grandeur there, I believe it was state rep. I don't think it was state senate, but I was following this. At some point in January, he had filed for a legislature seat, like you said, on either the last day or the second to last day for nominations or for filing, he withdrew that and filed for mayor. So I don't know what he's thinking.
He filed for mayor because nobody else did. He's hoping to get that so many people are up with Democrats that he'll win by default as a Republican, just because he's a Republican, but the guy has no substance at all. And for me, that was wasted opportunity. I hope that thing out is getting better. We've been having a problem this week with that at the beginning of the show for some reason, and it looks like most of that has actually been escaped. So just remind me, I'm cutting out and try to play the game and see what happens. Okay. In the meantime, yesterday there was no petition in some of these seats. And Metro Council, for example, right now we have one. Atticus Scott, somebody who I believe should be challenged at every opportunity. In fact, I got a challenger yesterday in the Democratic primary because there's no Republican running for that seat. Metro Council just won. But guess who her challenger is?
Judy Green's daughter.
You betcha. Jessica Green. For those of you who know about the Judy Green thing here in Louisville, I filed a charge at her impeachment on Metro Council. I was accused of being a racist, and you should have heard things Jessica Green was doing behind the scenes that freaked me out. And now she's running against Atticus Scott. That's a tough one for me because I tell you, I can't stand Atticus Scott. But I'm also believing sometimes that apple doesn't fall far from the tree. After Jessica's response, also as an attorney, someone credible, the way that she reacted and try to attack the person, I'm not sure that's the best choice. So we're going to watch the race pretty close and see what happens. Of course, we know about Metro Council District 3, David Whitlock. former Constable David Whitlock decided he was going to try to take on Mary Woolridge. I'll go on record now and say he hasn't got a shot.
Only David Whitlock, Ed, would be out there enough to make me want to endorse an incumbent Democrat councilman. I've ever endorsed an incumbent Democrat councilman. Go ahead.
I'm with you. David Whitlock is a job. He's somebody that on criminal, felon, thief, in my opinion. And, I'm tired of for that. It's the Third Amendment. Thank you very much. So screw you, David. Is this guy has got to have some sort of elective position because he has to have some sort of power to protect himself. And that's what he always wanted to be comfortable with. So he got his up to do it. And now I guess he can try it with the Metro Council.
I think what's happening here, Ed, in tongue-in-cheek fashion here. I think David Whitlock's been listening to our shows. You know why?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think David Whitlock's been listening to our shows because he heard me talk about how you guys took out the Metro Councilman in the first district and the second district. I said we were going to go numerically, and he knew we were looking for criminal activity in the third district, so he had to file.
There you go.
Maybe he wants... I mean, I don't know anything about her. I don't know her from Adam, and as far as I know, she hasn't had any violations against her yet, unless you've got some you're digging up.
Well, Mary Woolridge is not clean, I will tell you that. Mary Woolridge is part of the problem, the solution. But at the same time, anything's better than David Whitlock.
That's why I said that fourth district, but we'll move on to other races. I'm glad that people did file. I mean, I'm not glad that Whitlock did, but I know we couldn't see who filed for about a full 24 hours because Bobby Coleslaw's office took a full day to get it up. I don't understand how Allison Lonnie and Grimes could get it all up on the Secretary of State's page a minute after the closing yesterday, but Bobby Coleslaw couldn't. That's another story.
Well, I think that's really intentional, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
Moving on to District 5 Metro Council, Sherry Bryan Hamilton.
Good.
Yep, Sherry Bryan Hamilton will have a primary opponent in Keith Morgan, so she'll have to go through a Democratic primary. And after her primary, she actually does have a Republican challenger, John Owen. So that's going to be a race to watch going all the way through. In Metro Council District 7, we're going to actually have a Republican primary. The Democrat in that race is Bruce Maples. Everybody knows anything about politics. Knows Bruce is one of those left-wing liberals and all of that good stuff. I don't agree with any of his politics.
I thought he was out of the pasture somewhere. I thought he had moved to another country by now. I mean, that's like the old Democrat machine.
Oh, he's been playing a political game on Facebook and the social media, getting people fired up. Bruce himself is actually a pretty good guy, but as far as his politics and what he's going to do, it's the last thing we need in Louisville is another left-wing ultra-liberal. But there will be a Republican primary in District 7, and that's going to be Angela Leet, who is the only Republican who had filed as of the last I had seen, and now we have Sean Sloan. So we're going to have a Republican primary for District 7, but we will have a race all the way through because there will be a Democrat and Republican facing off, so that's good. And, of course, District 9, what can you say? Tina Ward.
That's like the canteen scene from Star Wars right there.
Yeah, it really is. You know, Tina Ward Pugh decides to have that seat. But, so once Tina Ward Pugh, the established incumbent, Democrat decided to give up that seat, then all of a sudden everybody who should have been challenger all these years and didn't now stepped out to the plate. Last I saw, there were like 12 Democrats running in a primary.
Yeah.
There's 13 now. Okay. Oh, I see that now.
I pull up the county clerk's office, and I don't want to make people think we're piling up on coleslaw here, but the county clerk's page is down again. It was down the day before the filing deadline. Now it's down again.
Well, I've actually got it pulled up in front of me. I pulled it up before the show, so I don't have that problem. But Jason Clark was the latest addition. He added late yesterday. So now you've got 13 Democrats, but there will be an election all the way through because we have one Republican, Laura Rice, who is running in Metro Council District now. So that'll be
a Highlands. She's got to be a state of Mexicans or something.
You don't run in the Highlands. And, of course, in District 11, there's no primary, but we will have a race all the way through. Kevin Kramer, the incumbent Republican in Metro Council District 11, is going to face off against your buddy, Larry Hujo. Thoughts?
I'll be interested to see how it plays out. I mean, in full disclosure, I'll admit that I'm friends with Larry Hujo's son. He's a friend and a coworker of mine. So I'll be interested to see how it plays out because Kramer has pretty much been one of those county party ass kissers, and I can't really tell you anything that he's known for. So it'll be interesting to race to watch. I like to see a primary in every race, or at least a general election, except for the Whitlock case, of course. I'm glad to see when they get opponents.
Well, I'm glad to see when they get opponents, too. I don't care for Larry Hood. He is the ultra-left-wing leaning liberal. You know, former member of the Jefferson County School Board. He gave that up specifically to run for this race.
Remember, Stephen Inhofe is running for that ninth race, too. That's what's scary.
Yeah, I forgot to even mention that. You're right. He's one of the 13.
He could, I mean, I wonder if that's like one of those school board races where they snuck in, what's his name, the Humana crony. What was his name?
Oh, you're talking about Jones?
Yeah, so, I mean, you remember that was like a crowded field. So I definitely think there's a few horses running interference in the ninth district race.
I'm totally with you there. You have 13 people in a primary unless somebody's running in.
Somebody's going to win the primary, and there's no general election there, right? No Republican.
No, the ninth does. The Rice. Laura Rice is a Republican.
No, we know Republican in the Highlands.
But it's the high. You know, it's
so
that end of town.
Somebody's going to win a council seat, however much their salary is up to. Someone's going to win a full-time paying, part-time job by winning 9% of a Democrat primary.
Last, I believe it's $42,275 a year. Yep.
Plus 9% of the primary will get you that seat.
Plus you get a full staff. You get $250,000 to screw with in your discretionary and non-discretionary funds, so you can buy even more elections. It's funnier than hell. But 11 is going to have a race. District 13, Vicki Welch will not have a challenger this race.
That's very depressing.
That surprises me. It really does. But Marianne Butler will have a three-way. And I know who she pissed off, and I'm not going on air right now, but they know I know. But Marianne Butler did make some people angry, so now she's got a three-way primary. It's interesting, though, because she only had a two-way primary. It was Marianne Butler and Oliver Blake. Oliver Blake was going to be her primary opponent.
Blake
Oliver. And last week, toward the end of the week, a guy by the name of Kalila Collins jumped into the Democratic primary. So, gee, I wonder what they're thinking on that vote split, right? So,
they found the last day. It does make you wonder. I couldn't remember when how Oliver got in the race. You've done a better job than me to see when they got into the race. But when there is two, and all of a sudden here comes a late entry into the horse race, it does make you wonder.
Well, I'll give Kalila Collins credit. He didn't wait till the last day. He did done last week. So it was two weeks after Oliver and 1 week before the deadline. Metro Council of District 17 did not have a race yesterday. Now they do.
That's another one where the Democrats dug up one of the graveyard of forgotten favorites for this one, didn't they?
Yeah, well, Susan Johns. they did.
She's been around, and I better not say nothing too bad about her. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you can say anything you want to do, baby. That's why we like this show.
A lot of elected offices. She's running for elected offices, and I thought she was out there. I mean, we see a lot of old Democrat dinosaurs show back up. Like you said, we now see Susan Johns. We saw your BFF show up in the other race over there, Bruce Maples, and we even saw, maybe we'll get into it, we even saw an old dinosaur running against Kevin Bratcher in my state house district here.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. It really is. But those are our local races so far. So Clinton now has a Democratic opponent. Of course, in Metro Council District 19, Jerry Miller said he would not re-run for that position because he's seeking a state position, and that opened the door. And miraculously, the only one who walked in it was Julie Denton, who now
guaranteed.
Is a state legislator.
Yeah, she's guaranteed now to double and triple dip. You and I know somebody I wish had filed against her, but that's neither here nor there. And, I mean, nobody else wanted this seat. I mean, this is what, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist of ad nauseum, but the stuff that Paul Hollinger of Stop It was saying with you last night is exactly true with this stuff. How is it that it's an open seat and she has no challengers in her party or in the Democrat Party?
I agree with you. I just think it's insulting. And I'll mention the name, Ed Martin. My co-host and partner.
I put it on the file. I kept egging him on, but.
Well, everybody did, and Ed just flat out just couldn't. He owns his own business, as most people know, and he just took on a bunch of new business, and he's going to be tied up with that for the next few months, so he really just couldn't campaign. And I know it was a tough decision for him because he really wanted to run, but he just had too much going on. I mean, I agree with you. Somebody should have, and that's the problem for me. District 21, Dan Johnson had no opponents yesterday.
Oh, this is pretty. Yeah, I like this.
And now he's had exactly. Now he's got a three-way primary. It's Dan Johnson is a Democratic incumbent, of course, in District 21. And now he's got two other Democratic challengers, Eric Shoemake and Michael Tackett.
Now, what was the timing on those, Ed? Did they both get in
yesterday
early? Because that's something else that makes me get suspicious, that third one.
They were late yesterday afternoon. Both of them were.
It makes you think somebody tipped off Dan. I think his middle name is Arena Johnson. And I think someone must have tipped him off that candidate number two was filing, and then maybe he got candidate number three to file. That's just me speculating.
I honestly don't, because all I have are the dates on this. They both filed yesterday. The timing of it, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know how the Democratic Party works. I mean, you're the one that told me that's what they like to do, stack these races.
They do. And, you know, they've got operatives down there on the last day of filing, every last day of filing. I know that. I've been there and watched them in action. And, of course, you know, most of these people, like, you know, when you go down there and file, they got the Democrats who are handling the papers. So as soon as they see something, they make a call. And then all of a sudden you got somebody else showing up to stack the deck. You know, I can't say that in this situation, but, again, you were right about Bobby Holzclaw. You know, the only information we had last night was at 9:35 yesterday morning was the last update. So from 9:35 yesterday morning until today when she updated. So I have no idea of knowing
what I can tell you this about Coleslaw's page. This is why I'm a little disappointed in her office. And remember, she's up for election, too. How ironic that there's issues there in the office. It took her to get stuff out. She's up for election, too, this year. And I finally just got the page to come back up. It's been fighting and fighting to try to get her page up. And I can guarantee you the day before the filing deadline, which was Monday, that you could not get to her page. And I even went to Down for Everybody or Just Me. That's the website where you go and look up if a web page is up or down. And there were several hours the day before the filing deadline that it said the county clerk's page was down for everybody.
Well, you know, in her defense, though, she bought into the Democrats, you know, computer system, and they're trying to share, you know, hard data space with Obamacare program. I don't know. But, you know, District 23, of course, James Peden is still unopposed, and District 25, David Yates is unopposed. And that actually
Peden has not done a bad job. I sort of kind of know him. I know his legislative aide was a guy who got started in the Young Republicans when I was running it. John Torsky is his legislative aide, and they're a bit of neocons. The county party loves and adores him, so I guess that kind of kept the competition, the opposition away, but he really hasn't done anything bad in office. The David Yates one is the one I'm sure, that, like me, you're very disappointed that people like Yates and Welch didn't get primaries or opponents at all.
I'm very disappointed because David Yates is somebody that needs to go.
For Doug Hawkins, I'll say it. Go ahead.
David Yates don't need to be there, folks. I can tell you her stories about the past, and I probably will. He's unopposed anyway.
We could have one of you South Enders that run against them. Ed, it's your own fault.
Well, I don't live in the district, so I couldn't run.
Oh, my bad. That's it.
Yeah. I'm actually in District 14. Those elections are next year. We'll see how that one goes.
Okay.
but in the meantime, though, that takes care of the local races. I mean, we can get a Jefferson County attorney and all that. Michael Connell now has somebody primarying him and Karen Faulkner. Bobby Squaw has a race all the way through. Vitalis Lanshima is the name there. You know, there's a lot of things we can go to.
I don't know if we got a break coming up, but these county races, it really disappoints me. The one that really, really disappoints me. Tell me, how many people live in Louisville again? I don't know.
There's over 700.
I mean, how many millions of people live in Louisville? Nobody.
There's over 700,000 in Jefferson County.
Right. Filed to run against John Aubrey for sheriff. Nobody? Really?
I agree with you.
He's really done that great of a job. The sheriff is the one of the most underappreciated positions that there is out there, because the sheriff is the most constitutional position there is. It's very constitutional, going back to our state and our federal constitution, and that's disappointing. I mean, I understand nobody filed against a coroner, and nobody filed against a surveyor, and no one filed against the PVA, against, you know, Tony Lindar. I guess John May didn't want to get his ass kicked in that position again. But, I mean, really, nobody ran against the sheriff.
I agree with you. Now, John Yarmuth actually does have an opponent. He's actually got Ray Pierce. He's a friend of the show and a real good guy. He's actually going and running against him. So that's going to be an interesting situation as well. But I tell you, we really need to go into break, our bottom of the hour break. When we get back, we'll get into some of the state races, and I kind of want to get your opinion on the State of the Union from last night. Just stick around. Don't forget the number is 858-683-1326. or 502-805-0334. If you're in the listening queue, hit that number one on your dial pad. And in the meantime, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want to be heard? Give us a call. Tell us what you think about these races. Dale, we're going into break. We talked a lot about local races. Let's get into the state and the national races. Primarily, I really want to get started in the U.S. Senate seat, Mitch McConnell, because up to this point, all we've heard is Mitch McConnell and Matt Bevin have a primary, and waiting in the wings is Allison Lundigan Grimes. That's all changed as of yesterday. Now, Allison Lundigan Grimes has a four-way primary. You've got Burrell Farnsley, who can't win a dog catcher. He's nuts. You've got Allison Grimes. Two other people, names I'm not familiar with, you probably are. Greg Lichty.
And yeah, Tom, I thought you were okay. Greg Lichty is a communications, he may already be chair of the communications department by now, but he was a communications professor at U of L back when I was there, and he's still a professor at U of L.
Okay, and then you have Tom Rechtenwald. I know Tom Rechtenwald, but only through Facebook, nothing more than that. So we've got primary there.
I mean, Greg's as smart as can be. He's as far left as you can imagine for a U of L professor, as most of my professors were there. But he's an honest, intellectual guy. I mean, he could run circles around Lundigan Grimes if they gave him a fair chance and they actually would debate him, but I'm sure they want to ignore him and Rechtenwald the way that they ignored Marksberry.
Well, it's going to be interesting to find out. Then, of course, we have the Republican primary, as we mentioned just briefly earlier. We had a two-way race in the Republican primary to begin with. That was Matt Bevin. Yeah, that was Matt Bevin and Mitch McConnell. Well, now we've got three other people. Matt Bevin and Mitch McConnell are both from Louisville. Well, not Mitch, but that's where he claims his home. But we've added three people from across the state. We've got a James Copus out of Lexington, a Chris Payne out of Salvisa, and we've got Shauna Sterling out of Sharpsburg, Kentucky.
And to vet all these candidates, we got our homework cut out for us.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking, too. We're going to have to do some research real quick. Of course, that's what we deal with, so we'll live with that, and we'll have some information on these guys.
Yeah, and call the NSA and give us whatever they got on these people.
Yeah, well, trust me, I'll have all I want by tomorrow, believe me. But it's really interesting because, you know, now you have this five-way race, and as we mentioned at the top of the show, you know, how many of these guys are plants to make it easier for Mitch McConnell? I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, that's what I said. That's the flip side of, on one hand, I like we have more candidates. I say the more the merrier. It's like a horse race. It really is. And it's fun to kind of sort out, like you and I do, who's vetted for being interference, who just is underfunded and has a good message. And I've been telling people all along, we had one person dropped out of the Republican primary. Like you said, all of a sudden we had these three late entries, if you will. And I've been telling people all along, this is not the McConnell, Lundgren, Grimes show. That's what people want you to think, because those two people basically run the two major parties in the state. But again, like you just said, you have a five-way Republican primary, you have a four-way Democrat primary, and then in November, if you still don't like it, if we still got shit sandwich number one and shit sandwich number two, then you also have an independent candidate in the aforementioned Ed Marksberry, and you have a libertarian candidate. So I keep trying to tell people, do your research and find out what's really going on.
Well, and that's one thing, that's what we're here for. We do the research for them. But I want to run briefly, quickly through the U.S. representative races, and then I want to kind of move on to some state stuff. But District 1 for the U.S. rep, you've got a Democratic primary. Wesley Bolin and Charles Hatchett will face off in the Democratic primary, and waiting in the wings is, of course, Ed Whitfield of the Republican Party. In District 2, it looks like we've got a heads-up race in the general between Ron Leach and Brett Guthrie. District 3 gets a little interesting because in District 3 we have...
A little bit.
Well, you know, District 3 we have, of course, the incumbent John Yarmuth, but our good friend of the show, Ray Pierce, is actually going to primary John Yarmuth in a Democratic primary. And then we've got Dr. Michael McFarland, waiting in the wings in the general for the winner of that for the Republican Party. Moving on to District 4,
For a minute. I want to give.
Go ahead, please.
I want to give my very first endorsement of the primary season.
Go ahead.
I want to endorse Ray Pierce in the Democrat primary. For any constitutional Democrats that still use part of your brain and haven't donated it to science listening to the show, I want to endorse Ray Pierce. Go ahead.
Well, I'm actually in agreement with you. Ray Pierce is a stand-up guy. He's been fighting the fight. Without Ray Pierce, to be quite honest with people who don't know, because Ray Pierce is the president of Stop It, along with our good friend Paul Holliger, who is the operations manager there. But Ray Pierce has spent years fighting government. He is a one-man show. Him and Paul literally put everybody on the map regarding the MSD problems and what's really going on there, including the financial swaps and everything else that have bankrupted everybody else around the country. So, Ray.
So the winner of that one, we expect it to be Yarmuth. Of course, he's the big money incumbent who is so wealthy off of health care and restaurants and porn ads.
Your tax dollars, salary. Right. Yeah, your tax dollars made John Yarmuth wealthy in the health care industry. That's why he likes Obamacare.
Now here's the question, Ed. When he goes to November, are we going to hear anything from his supposed Republican opponent? Because this guy filed and made a sort of big to-do about filing 2 months ago, and we haven't had or heard a word from him since.
You know, that's interesting. I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I'm kind of curious about that myself. Because, you know, Dr. McFarland had a big turnout for his interest in running in the race. But, you know, at the same time, he has no primary. So, you know, do you spend a lot of money trying to reach out to everybody now when you don't know who your opponent is, because you're going to be there till November, or do you sit back, let the primary work itself out, and then get aggressive? I think what we'll probably see from Dr. McFarland is he can't wait until May elections in the primary. But I think what we'll probably start to see Dr. McFarland do, at least I'm estimating and hoping so, if not, call me Dr. McFarland. You can hire me to be your campaign manager, and I'll make sure you get noticed.
Well, I hope he does call you, Ed, because the rumors I'm hearing, and, you know, we're about nothing if we don't talk about the rumors on the airwaves here. And the rumors I'm hearing are that the machine, a.k.a. Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr., the machine is kind of hush-hush, wink-wink, trying to keep McFarland and his campaign down quietly to help suppress the vote in November. I don't know if you think there's any truth to those rumors.
I don't know if it's true or not, but I mean, a suppressed vote definitely helps incumbents. So a suppressed vote would definitely help Mitch McConnell, which, of course, you know, is primary target for Jefferson County Republicans for some reason. So
yep.
I don't know. But a suppressed vote helps him. But at the end of the day, you know, does that mean that he approves of John Yarmuth too? That I'm not sure of. But I'm curious to see what Dr. McFarland does in the coming months. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens here. You know, District 4, of course, we will have a general election there as well. Peter Newberry, Democrat, is going to take on one of our favorite guys, Libertarian and constitutional-minded Tom Massey. So there is no primary either, though.
As I've been telling people, anybody who's listening to this show, we love Tom Massey. I can tell you, and I can't name names, I can tell you I was out on the social networks the night we found out, and it's so far along he's been gone. Who was the previous holder of that seat? What was his name? Jeff Davis?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so I can tell you I was on the Internet, that wonderful network that Al Gore invented for us, and I was talking to people the night that Davis decided he wasn't going to run, and me and a bunch of other people were stirring up trouble, seeing if we could get Mr. Massey, who at the time was a rural county judge, to run for this seat. And I can tell you that Massey is one of my top nine people in Washington. I mean, he's one of the best out there. So I guess the Democrat Party up there pushed somebody out on to the train tracks to run against him.
Well, I've got to be honest with you. I mean, I think Tom Massey is a class act. I'm very happy to have him in office. I like the hell out of Tom. I also like the hell out of Rand Paul, and I'm a big Jamie Comer fan. So, you know, we have a lot in common. But let's move through the rest of these quick, because I want to do state race. But we got Ken Stepp and Billy Ray Wilson facing off in a primary in District 5 on the Democratic side, and waiting in the wings is incumbent Hal Rogers. District 6. Yep.
District 6. He's the king of pork. I mean, Hal Rogers.
Oh, he is. There's no doubt about it.
Somerset Center he built. Anyone's ever been in Somerset, Kentucky, you will drive for tens and tens of miles and see nothing but fields, and all of a sudden, boom, here's the big center that it's federal money bought, Porky Pig himself.
Yeah, and nobody's there. Democratic primary in District 6, Elizabeth Jensen and Jeff Young, and they're waiting in the wings is Andy Barr on the Republican side. That takes care of your U.S. races. Now we get to the fun stuff. I want to get to the state judge.
Yep.
State Senate, District 2. You've got Democrat Jeff Parker running unopposed, and you have a Republican primary in District 2 between Danny Carroll and David Hoffman.
And it's a seat where the incumbent is the only independent. A friend of Liberty, Bob Lieber, is retiring. So like you said, it's a two-way Republican primary for an open seat, and the winner will face Democrat Jeff Parker in November in Paducah.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's interesting because Republicans – filed, a lot of them filed lately, but Republicans are actually going after roughly 30 incumbent Democrats. I mean, they really want to try to take over the state house and everything this year. So we're going to see how that works out.
I mean, we're going to miss Bob Lieber. I mean, me personally, I will. He was very independently minded. A guy had been a member of both parties at different times. He got pissed off at each of them, so neither of them could control him. So it's again, another one of those underappreciated guys that's leaving office.
And I'm 100% agreement with you. I really liked Lieber a heck of a lot myself. He was a great senator. District 4, of course, Dorsey Ridley is running unopposed, Democrat. And moving on to District 6, we've got two Democrats facing off in a primary, William Cox, Jr., and Doug Smith. And waiting in the wings, Republican C.B. Embry, Jr.
Yep.
So that's going to be interesting to see how that primary
shakes out. I kind of like C.B. Embry. C.B. usually falls down on the constitutional side, so that's, you know, that'd be interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see what kind of opponent comes at him.
Yep.
Then we get into District 8, no opposition, Joe Ballen, Republican. Get into District 10, no opposition, Dennis Pitt. Then you get into District 12, you're going to have a general election. There's no primary, but you've got Kathy Ryan on the Democratic side, facing off against incumbent Al Forgy Kerr. Thoughts?
Which district is this? I just took notes on
district
the ones actually
12.
Have primary, so I didn't have this written
it's
down.
District, yeah, it's District 12. There's no primary.
I mean, the incumbent's
going
to win that one, in my opinion. We have two Democrats or three running? Or just
it's
no
actually
Democrats.
No. There's no primary. No primary. You've got Democrat Kathy Ryan has filed to face off against Alex Forgy Kerr.
I can't see Forgy Kerr leave it, lose it. I, again, I have to vet some of these candidates. I can't see me endorsing the Democrat there unless they just come out with a wild libertarian hair up their ass. I don't know that much about them yet.
Well, it is Lexington and Alice where you occur. There's really no baggage there, so that should be a pretty safe seat. One of my favorite senators, District 14, Jimmy Higdon, is running out of post. He's running out of post. I do, too. Sarah Beth Gregory and George Maxwell Wise face off in a Republican primary for District 16. And there's no Democrat there.
She just she's the incumbent. I believe she just won that in a special election. Was that Jamie Comer's old seat?
Yes. Or
okay, wasn't sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the first election here, or a real election, I should say. District 18, we're going to have a general. There's no primary, but you've got Robin Webb, Democrat, facing off against Tony Downey, Republican. And this is the Grayson, Kentucky, Ashland area. That's going to be an interesting race to watch. You're going to have a primary for Republicans in District 20 with no Democrat. There's going to be no Democrat there either. You're going to have Paul Hornback face off against Tony McCurdy. So everyone's at primary is going to get that seat.
Yep.
Interesting. Tom Buford in District 22 has nobody running against him. So he's going to keep his seat. But I really thought Tom Buford might actually get an opponent this time. That's down around Nicholasville. But Tom Buford has some problems. Even though he's Republican, I expected him to get somebody to take him on, and they didn't step up. I don't know why. District 24, you've got a situation going on there. You've got a Democrat, Jason Steffen, running unopposed, so he's going to be the Democrat. But then you've got a three-way race in the Republican primary between Will Schroeder, Deb Sheldon, and Brandon Volker. Any of those stand out to you?
Not yet. Like I said, I'll have to do research. This is like early vetting. I know that's one of those seats I want to say off the top of my head. That's one of the ones that got moved around because of all the breaking up and redistricting because there's not an incumbent there. I'm trying to quickly work around Al Gore's invention and see who the previous holder was. This is one of those seats that they screwed around with. That's Katie Stein's old seat in Northern Kentucky. So
yes.
She's that's right. Katie Stein's resigning. So that's big, pretty constitutional Republican area up there, I guess. You know, Jason Steffen probably said, "Hey, some Democrats gotta take the bullet." But that will be interesting who comes out to get Katie Stein's old seat.
It will be interesting. And District 26, Republican Ernie Harris is running unopposed all around, so he'll keep that seat. District 28, we're going to have a general election there between R.J. Palmer, the Democratic nominee, and Ralph Alvarado, the Republican there. That's going to be interesting to watch. But that's right around Winchester area, and that's those areas can go either way. You look at District 30, we'll have a general election there as well. Jordan Palmer is going to face off as a Democrat against Republican Brandon Smith. District 32 is going to stay as a Republican seat. Nobody filed. Mike Wilson will get that job. District 34 will have a general election between Democrat Michael Cope and Republican Jared Carpenter.
Carpenter is the incumbent there.
Yeah, and here's the thing for me. Now we get into District 26. We're getting into our neck of the woods. District 36. District 36, you're going to have Sadiq Malik, Democrat, run against Julie Rocky Adams, in District 36, the Republican. So you'll have a general election. But
this is Julie Rocky Adams. She's doing that shifting of the chairs on the Titanic. She's currently a state rep at the district I used to live in. She's very much entrenched with the county establishment. And just remember, she's the Republican who sponsored the bill to say you should not be allowed to smoke in the entire state of Kentucky.
You know what? I'm glad you went there. That's where I was going because,
I had to go there. She's as entrenched as
she's
the
liberal
establishment. So, and that's what the establishment believes in. The establishment believes in not allowing you to smoke in the whole state. So that's freedom to them. That's what freedom means.
Yeah, and, that's exactly it. You know, I don't like anybody who says they're a Republican that wants to be a communist, and that's basically what I look at there. District 38 is interesting because District 38 is current Senator Dan Syme.
Yep.
Dan Syme put all of his stock behind David Williams. And since David Williams is gone, you've seen Dan Syme start to flip-flop on quite a few things, as we've talked about before. But he has a primary There's not a Democrat in this race, but he has a primary by a lady by the name of Susie Board. Susie Board is in Shepherdsville, which is Bullock County. As you know, since the redistricting, Bullock County makes up a large percentage of District 38. And, you know, Dan Syme really hasn't had to worry about competition from Bullock County before, but Susie Board is a lifelong Bullock Countyan. Is that going to make a difference in this primary? Does Dan have something to worry about?
It could. I mean, again, I'll have to vet her. I know we're just looking at this like sight reading for the first time, but that's where I vote. I mean, I am in state senator. My house is in state senator Dan Syme's district, and I guess I would say in his defense, I think he probably resents or regrets having to do all the lapdog work he did for Black Jack David Williams, because Williams and Syme don't always have the exact politics. Williams has never been as constitutional as Dan Syme, and I don't agree with Syme on everything, but he's been pretty constitutional, so I guess we'll have to see. There's a couple of things we disagree on, and I'll have to see who this chick is that's running against him since I get to vote in this race.
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, overall, I think Dan Syme has done a great job, but, you know, when you look at the reality, though, as soon as he hits his coach strings to David Williams and really became a latchy for David Williams, he didn't lose favor with a lot of people, and I'm just kind of curious to see how that's going to shake out, because this is the first election we've had with Dan since all that, you know, since the David Williams thing. So it's going to be interesting. Dale, I'm going to tell you right now, we're probably going to go into overdrive. We're just now hitting the state reps. Are you up for that?
I'm up for it. Let's do it.
All right, man. That's all I need to hear. District 1 state rep, unopposed. Republican Stephen Rudy will get that seat.
There's 100 two. Seats, Dad. You might want to just go with the ones that have opposition tonight.
Well, you know, that's where we're going. District 2, Jesse Wright and Richard Heath will face off in a general election. Wright is Democrat. Heath is Republican. District 3, you're going to have a general election. Of course, that's our good friend Gerald Watkins. I'm sure you know who he is, Democrat there, versus Randy Bridges and the Republican. In District 4, you're going to have a general election. Jared Jackson, Democrat, versus Lynn Beckler, Republican. District 5, general election. David Harrington, Kenny Imes. District 6, you're going to have Will Corsi, Democrat, face off against Keith Travis, Republican. District 7, John Warren, Democrat, faces off against Susan Miles, Republican. District 8, unopposed. District 9, Democrat Mike Sieber faces off against Myron Dossett, Republican. District 10, now we've got
now
a
we
prime
get really interesting.
Yeah, we've got Dean Daymore, who's going to be the only Democrat, but now you've got a Republican primary. Alan Claypool, Brian Key, and Jerry Lucas will face off the Republican primary.
But do you know why we have a three-way Republican primary in this open seat?
Oh, do tell.
Because this is where incumbent Ben Wade, with all his controversy and scandal, and he's been able to avoid much mainstream press on, is stepping down, not because he feels shameful, but no, he's running for Hopkins County Judge Executive.
Thank you. I'm glad you went there. Yeah, and, that,
you know,
and that's the
damn thing. I mean, our good friend Jake Payne has talked a lot about him. Nobody else is talking about all the controversial stuff that his business has been involved in. And again, I guess he figures, if I get out of Frankfurt, I'll go back to local government. Maybe I'll pull a Julie Denton here and make more money locally. And he's running for Hopkins County Judge Exec, so we got a three-way primary for his old seat.
And he will make more money locally, because County Judge Executive in Hopkins County is a real job. It's not like Louisville, where it's title only because your constitution says you have to have them.
And then he'll be down there with another establishment Republican, the Hopkins County Attorney Todd Peeple.
Yep, he will. And let's go to District 11 real quick. You will have a Democratic primary. James Buckmaster versus David Watkins, and waiting in the wings will be Paul DeSpain, Republican, in November. District 12, you will have a general election. Jim Gooch, of course, and he'll be facing off against Republican Diane Mackey. District 13, you will have a Democratic primary between Jim Glenn and J.D. Warfield, and waiting in the wings is Republican Alan Braden for November. District 14, Tommy Thompson, Democrat, facing off against Republican Marianne Turley. 15, now here's one you probably want to talk about, because I know you keep up with this one. You've got Brent Yauntz in District 15, has got a primary challenger, which really surprised me, by the name of Martha King, and waiting in the wings.
I think you might be mistaken on that one, Ed. I got Martha King in the 16th District.
You know what? By God, you're absolutely right. Lower down right. Never mind. Brett Yance is unopposed in District 15 Democrat. Martha King is unopposed, District 16 Democrat. 17 is unopposed. Jim DeCesar, Republican.
18 is where you should go. I mean, you save some time just by going to the ones with primaries.
You know, it's pretty bad when you don't read your own writing. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Let's get on to District 18. Craig Davis and Stephen Meredith and Tim Moore, all Republicans.
Yep, this is the seat with the retiring Dwight Butler Republican, and I'm kind of biased. I know Craig Davis. He's a good constitutional guy from Pickback, Kentucky.
Yep, and I actually agree with you. I know Craig Davis, too. I know
the best choice. I hate that we're making choices in January, but he's probably the best choice in this race, but go ahead.
Well, I actually endorsing this. I mean, they're all three Republicans. There's no Democratic challenger, so the primary is the race here.
Okay.
And I think Craig Davis would do a good job myself. Moving on to 19, you're going to have a general election, John Wayne Smith versus Michael Meredith. In 20, District 20, this is interesting, Jody Richards has an opponent, Democrat Jody Richards. Is facing off against Republican Nene Hampton. Any early thoughts?
I mentioned Nene Hampton. She's very constitutional. She's been an activist, conservative activist in the Tea Party in Bowling Green for a long time, and this is like the David versus Goliath battle. It'd be nice to see somebody take out the old auctioneer there, Jody Richards, and I hope that she gets some support down there. I don't know how it's going to work. That's kind of like the edges of Bowling Green, and I hate to say it, but if she's running the general election, maybe some of that covert racism come out against her, since Jeanine Hampton is a black woman running as a Republican in Bowling Green.
Oh, that's going to be interesting. Believe me, I hear you there. It's interesting because Jeanine Hampton is also a Republican. So much for the stereotype, right? 21 will be a general election, no primary. 22 unopposed. 23 will be a general election between Johnny Bell, Democrat, Jeff Joby, Republican. 24 will be a primary for the Republicans. Democrat Terry Mills is waiting for the general, but you've got a Republican primary, Amber Dones versus Alex LaRue in 24. And that's around Hodgenville, Lebanon, and
that area. You left out the third guy.
And I left out Richard Treats. You're right.
Richard Treats, again, I'm all about full disclosure. I'm not going to lie to people. Richard Treats is a good friend of mine from Take Back Kentucky. I've probably known him for 12 or 13 years. He's as constitutional as Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson.
Well, there you go. District 25, Democrat primary, Glenn Fonda versus Jimmy Lee. Waiting in the wings is Republican Jim Duplessis. 26, you're going to have primary there as well. Democrat stands alone, Scott Wantland. Republican primary between Russell Weber and Alex Wimsett. That's out around Shepherdsville, Mount Washington area.
Yep.
Get into 27, you're going to have a general election. Greer, Rachel Frazier. 28, I love 28.
Oh, thank goodness
I
there's
tell you
opponent.
Why. I love it. Charlie
this
Miller.
Is the case of the, this is the case of the former corrupt PRP principal, not to be confused with the current corrupt PRP principal.
You betcha. I love the fact that Charlie Miller has a Republican, a real Republican running against him, not that clown that ran the last time, John Brewer. You got Charlie Miller, former PRP high school principal, as far as I'm concerned, crooked as hell, Democrat, running against a guy I know very well, Joe Mauser.
Oh, do you? Good. See, I don't know him yet, so you can tell
Mauser
me about him.
Joe Mauser is running as a Republican. Joe Mauser is a class act. I've known Joe Mauser for many, many years. This guy is somebody who will stand up for the right things, and he's somebody that honestly can't be bought, in my opinion.
Well, this is the race where you get to vote, right?
Yep, I get to vote in this one. And Joe Mauser, of course, I will endorse right away. I ain't even got to think about that. Here's the funny one. 29.
Now you're moving into my yard where I get to vote.
Former Commonwealth attorney, current Jack Conway lapdog. As far as I'm concerned, the guy should be arrested and put in jail for not doing his job properly, in my opinion. He proved it with Jim King. He's been bought and paid for by everybody in his state. But Democrat Dave Stengel.
Yeah, you need the music to Jurassic Park when you talk about him.
Probably. Yeah, I tell you, he's a pathetic piece of garbage, in my opinion. But Democrat Dave Stengel is going to face off against a Republican that I truly do like, and Kevin Bratcher. So this is clearly by design.
Do you remember, do you realize, Ed, I did my history on this, because I live in this district now. Do you know that Stengel actually was the last person to hold the seat before Kevin Bratcher?
You know what? No, I didn't. I haven't really thought about it.
But somehow Kevin has gotten by this way, and I'm not saying that against Kevin like it's by hook or by crook because he's a good guy. He's not as constitutional. We like to shape, you know, ship him up and make him a little bit more sharp.
Right,
oh, yeah. He's the neocons love him, but he's not done anything wrong. And he's for you to be a Republican, to be able to stay in office in the area of Okolona and Fern Creek for literally a decade and a half, it says a lot. But, yeah, I looked it up. Kevin Brecher first ran after Dave Stengel left the seat to run for one of his other judicial offices or something.
Well, and that's it. And I tell you, you know, Kevin Brecher has done a good job. And I'm the firm belief. I mean, there are people who are nothing but constitutional. There are people who are nothing but this or that. I'm a guy, as long as your heart's in the right place, you're doing the best job you can do, you know, and you're standing
up. Running against Dave Stengel, I might put a sign for Brecher in my yard. Don't get me wrong. That's a clear choice.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, I don't expect every elected representative to be perfect.
No one's going to run against Kevin in the primary, and I'm surprised he got a Democrat opponent. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Stengel's family wanted to get out and get away from the local McDonald's some more or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, when Stengel left Commonwealth Attorney's Office, first thing he did was go to work for Attorney General Jack Conway.
Yep.
And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's dirty as hell. At least he proved it to me during the Jim Keene case, in my opinion, and I'll stand by that. I think Dave Stengel is nothing but a crook. He's been bought and paid for one too many times, and
yep.
I won't vote for him for anything.
Nope.
Let's try to get the Louisville races out of the way. We might not get through all of these, because I am kind of going into crazy stuff here. But Tom Burch, District 30, Louisville, Tom Burch. Democrat, is going to face off against Republican challenger Brian Krueger. Thoughts?
I got nothing against, you know, I don't know Brian Krueger from Freddy Krueger yet, but we'll have to vet these out. But Tom Burch is now one of those Democrats. Burch, I believe, is the most senior, not maybe age-wise, but maybe age-wise, but seniority-wise, the most senior member of the state house, I believe. He's been in there so damn long.
Tom Burch has been around forever. And to be honest with you, Tom Burch really hasn't done such a bad job. You know, I know he's a Democrat, and I'm supposed to be against
him.
He's
not done a good job. He's been there long enough. He's in the district. That's what, about 75% Democrat?
Well, that's the thing. That's the exact thing. Tom Burch hasn't done a bad job. He's represented his district well. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of things. He's not innovative. He's not creative. And he doesn't think outside of the 75% party line. The other 25% are left behind. So
I mean, this is one of those races, Dad, where I was glad to see that there was at least a Republican running. I don't care if they have to prop him up like Weekend at Bernie's in the old movie, as long as there is a Republican on the ballot, because we've seen so many years that the party never ran candidates.
Oh, I agree with you. And again, like I said, the Republicans are targeting 30 Democrat incumbents this time. So I think that's great that they're finally getting involved. When you get into... District 31, Steve Riggs, Democrat, now has an opponent, Nicholas Simon, Republican.
Steve Riggs is one of your old union buddies from way back, ain't he?
Yeah, well, think what you want.
I don't mean you personally, but isn't he like a big union guy?
Yeah, he's an old union guy, and I don't care for him, never have, so we'll see what happens.
I don't know much about him, because he's another one of those corrupt Democrats that's been in there for like 20 or 30 years.
Right. So we'll see how Nick Simon does. And remember, I'm not giving endorsements to these Republicans. I haven't vetted them yet.
No, we're just kind of touching them, barely. Really touching the edge of the iceberg.
Right, and this is one I know you're going to have comments on. I mean, I even hate going here, but I want to hear what you have to say. Ashley Miller, Democrat in District 32, no primary. If you have a Republican primary, here we go. Shelley May, Phil Moffitt. Go ahead.
I would encourage everyone to find out what the most money is you can donate to Phil Moffitt. I would ask you to mortgage the house, take a loan out of the car, and take every bit of money you can and send it to Phil Moffitt today.
Well, there you have it, straight from Dale.
Phil Moffitt's a liberty guy.
Well, Phil Moffitt,
he should have been our governor's candidate. Bobby Coleslaw was put in, as you've said on the airwaves many times, to run as the interference.
I would have loved to have seen Phil Moffitt beat David Williams in that race. And you're right, Bobby Coleslaw was the guy.
Got Republicans wanting your vote, and the person that Phil Moffitt was running into the primary told us that they didn't want us in the Republican Party. So they obviously don't want our vote if they told us that they didn't want us in the party.
Well, you're talking about Shelley May, and I'll be honest with you.
Those are exact words. I can play the recording if you like me to get it out.
Oh, no, I don't care what you play. You know that.
I'll play it tomorrow night, but I'm saying, you know, it's a fact. They told us that we weren't welcome in their Republican Party.
Well, I know you had a personal problem there, and I understand.
No,
and
I didn't. I agree. They made it personal.
And I agree. I know
problem.
They did. And I agree with you then, and I agree with you now. It was the wrong way to handle it. But it is interesting because Shelley May, former Jefferson County GOP chairwoman, she's been very, very active for many, many years in Republican politics here in the county. And here you've got Phil Moffitt, who is a constitutionalist, a Tea Party, and a libertarian heart. So, yep. You know, this is going to be an interesting primary. What you're going to see in this primary, for me anyway, is you're going to see traditional Republicans against the new Republican, if you will, the Paul Republican or Tom Massey type Republican. This is with Shelley May, and you're going to have the opposite end of that with Phil Moffitt. So it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
Oh, you're getting out again, Ed.
Here we go, man. I'll send it to somebody, right?
you're cutting out again. See, I would have understood they cut my line like they did the conventions, but you're cutting out again.
Ed, it's nothing new, man. Welcome to it. The waiting in the wings will be Ashley Miller, Democrat.
She's just token opposition. This is one, like you've said in other races, the real race is in the primary.
I agree with you. In 34, here's one I'd like to see. Mary Lou Margian, Democrat, is facing off against Republican Michael McNair. So I'm glad to see that. Jim Wayne has got competition. Democrat Jim Wayne is facing off against Carl Nett, Republican. You've got Jerry Miller, Republican, facing off against Democrat Debbie Barber. And I'll be honest with you, I like Jerry Miller's chances in that race.
Yep.
Jerry Miller's a pretty good guy. Here's a race. I'm not sure which way it's going to go, but I hope it goes Republican. Jeff Donahue, Democrat, is facing off against Mark Wilson, Republican. Jeff Donahue is old school union thug. He's one of those people.
I was
going to
let you say, I knew you could give a good picture of him.
I know this guy personally, worked with him for a few years. And, you know, he's just an old school union liberal Democrat. The only thing that matters, making sure he takes care of the unions and keeps his power, because that's what he's about. That's not somebody we need to represent. So I don't know much about Mark Wilson. I will do the research, but I hope this is at least one race we look at a Republican in. And here's another race. I can't even stand this. But Denny Butler, District 8, unopposed Democrat. Denny Butler should have had competition. Denny Butler beat Mike Emus in the last state rep race only because his name is Butler, period. And that's one thing that really drives me nuts is people elect because of a name from somebody else that they knew. They like his daddy or something without ever challenging it. And then, of course, we're getting into some other races. Let's switch on to 40, District 40, Dennis Horlander, Democrat. Is facing off against a guy, I just got to tell you, folks, he's a young guy and I flat-out love to death. His name is Ron Sider.
Yep.
Ron Sider is the former Libertarian Party, Kentucky Libertarian Party chair. He's running as a Republican in this race, District 40. And I got to tell you, if you want to look at the future in politics, you need to give this guy a real look. This guy really is a constitutionalist, understands the way it's supposed to work. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to give him an endorsement right out of the gate for what it's worth, because I really like Ron Sider many times.
He's facing off against Dennis Horlander, and Horlander is another one of those Democrats that's been in there for at least, I know he's been in there for at least 20 years. Remember, Horlander's one that the Courier-Journal exposed as being one of the most overpaid, underworked members of the State House, and I really go back for people, if you look it up, if you still look up in the Courier-Journal behind all their stupid paywall, Horlander is a guy who once got into a fight with his neighbor with a machete.
Yeah, that's Dennis Horlander.
Look it up. Yep. This is a guy running for re-election for about 20 years as state representative, Dennis Horlander, who got into a machete fight with one of his constituents. Yeah, so I this is going to be an uphill battle, but I'm with you on the Republican there. It'd be great to see some support get behind that young Republican candidate.
Well, he's also one of those guys, truthfully, I mean, let's call a spade, he's one of those guys, truthfully, that has probably kept his job for 20 years because of all the baggage he's got, because of that straight party ticket voting that's allowed in Kentucky. When you just press that little arrow that says straight Democrat, he gets
elected.
It shouldn't
be allowed, but neither party will do anything to get rid of it because they don't want to lose their votes.
Right. They're scared to see what the truth is. Tom Reiner in District 41, he's set in stone. Reggie Meeks, Democrat. And District 42 has got a Republican challenger in James Howland. And I've got to tell you, I don't know James Howland, but Reggie Meeks is one of those Democrats who I know has problems, but I can't help but like the guy. I've worked with Reggie on a few things and spoken with Reggie many times, and I think he does the best he can. I really do. I do like Reggie Meeks of that, even though he's a Democrat. Here's a race I hate to even talk about. District 43, Democrat, incumbent Democrat Darrell Owens. I cannot stand. You talk about a guy who would sell his mama for a dollar. That's Darrell Owens, in my opinion. The guy's been
Darrell Owens was so afraid of the Take Back Kentucky group. I can't even tell you which constitutional issue it was, but Darrell Owens basically goes and sees what their constitution says, and he goes the other way. And he was so afraid of Take Back Kentucky. At one point when we were in Frankfort, I had plenty of witnesses from Take Back Kentucky. Darrell Owens, when he saw that the group from Take Back Kentucky was waiting to meet with him, he literally had his jogging shoes on, and he ran out the door the other way, truthfully.
Well, I believe that, but I'll be honest with you. I've seen just as many Republicans ignore those people and do the same thing.
Oh, yeah, but this guy's been in office how many years? This guy was in office as a county commissioner when I was in elementary school, Ed.
I know.
Truthfully. But they had a career day in my elementary school, and he came as county commissioner.
Well, the problem is he's running against a quack. Corley Everett.
Corey lived in that district. Again, I'm all for competition. That'd be interesting.
Corley Everett has no common sense. He's dumb as rocks. Thinks he's something he's not. He actually ran Todd Lally's campaign. And it's hard to accept this guy as a candidate for anything. And you know, Darrell should win that hands down. Anybody that would vote for Corley, in my opinion, probably don't need to be voting. And that sounds pretty bad, but I think everybody should vote. Joni Jenkins is safe in District 44. Stan Lee, of course, is safe in District 45. Larry Clark has got a Republican challenger in District 46. His name is David Rainey. Anybody and a brother should take out Larry Clark. This is a guy, you know, I've been told many stories about how he used to take all the cash buyouts in the middle of bars.
I'll be interested to see what happens with his opponent. Do you know his opponent?
His opponent is David Rainey, and I don't know much about Rainey yet. I will.
David Rainey is a very young in age Republican who is also a public defender.
Okay.
I just think it'd be interesting. I mean, you don't think about that a public defender and a Republican. So I think he's of that same young gun mentality as the gentleman who's taking on Horlander. I don't think that either of them have the best shot because the dinosaurs that they're up against, you know, dinosaurs sometimes have to get stuck in a tar pit before they die.
Right. Let's run through a couple other quick Louisville races. District 48, Gretchen Hunt, Democrat, is taking on Republican Bob DeWeese. That should be a lock for DeWeese. District 49, Shepherdville, we got to include them. They're part of this thing. You're going to have a Democratic primary. Linda Belcher is going to be primaried by Jonathan Cacciatore. And waiting in the wings is our good friend Michael Nemus. And I can't wait for that general election because I just love Michael Nemus.
That's a race where the incumbent Republican was Russell Weber, and he was actually redrawn out of his own district.
Oh, yeah. That was purely intentional. 49 actually leans Democrat now based on voter registration. But I think Mike Nemus has one hell of a chance at that. Mike Nemus is a class act, and I'm glad to see that he's running in that. For the most part, that's going to take care of your Louisville races. We don't really want to spend too much more time. I can go through all the rest of these. But if you guys want to get a copy of that, just go to the Secretary of State's website, and they'll give you a copy of just punch it in. They'll give you a copy of every race that's out there. In the meantime, Dale, it looks like we got a lot to look forward to. One other story today I really want to get in before we jump off air. We talk about illegal aliens and illegal immigrants and everything else, and I thought this story was just funnier than hell. Won't happen, but I think it's great. But apparently, you know, the White House has this thing called, you know, the We the People thing, that if you get more than 100,000 signatures on something, the White House is obligated to respond to any petition they get that has more than 100,000 signatures. This story, everybody by now knows about this little punk kid, Justin Bieber. I can't stand that slime. They actually got almost 105,000 signatures to deport Justin Bieber back to Canada and revoke his green card. So I'm just kind of curious to see what the White House does with that.
Do they need us to drive him up there? We could take turns driving his ass up there.
Yeah, really. Let's take the rented Lamborghini that got caught.
The heroes in this country.
Yeah, let's smoke his dope on the way. But anyway, that's as much as we can get in tonight, folks, for your races, what's coming up. We hope you have a lot of time on your hands because there's plenty of time to research these candidates. Make sure you research them all. Dale, as always, you know, you got anything for tomorrow night yet?
Well, I do and I don't. Again, it's one of those things where we know the mainstream likes to talk about the Beavers and they like to talk about the Duck Dynasties and all that crap. But, you know, we're just going to do the regular thing tomorrow night where we're going to see if people are following the real news, like how many people are following the week-long riots and violence in the Ukraine and how many people are following the fact that we had cyber attacks this past week that blocked the entire federal court system or maybe the Pentagon announcing that they're going to launch blimps around your neighborhood. So maybe those are some topics that will get people away from the Beavers and the Duck Dynasties tomorrow night.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Duck Dynasty because at the State of the Union last night, there's a great live shot. Chief White House correspondent Chuck Tide looking at Duck Dynasty star Willie Robertson. He was there as a guest, as a Republican guest at the State of the Union, and looked at him, you know, like he was the worst thing he'd ever seen in his life, you know, and then started telling the whole world that, you know, that he shouldn't have been invited there, that by inviting this Duck Dynasty star, these guys are clearly trying to make a partisan political point. What's funny about that is, during the 2013 State of the Union, President Barack Obama and the Democrats made a big play out of bringing Gabby Giffords to the State of the Union to try to get their political point about pushing their gun restrictions. So I thought that was pretty interesting. In the meantime, folks, that's it for tonight. Dale, not time for final comments. I apologize. But we will get back. And tomorrow night, don't forget to tune in at 7 o'clock with Dale the Truth for his Thursday night Truth TNT radio show. And don't forget our good friend Ken Molman, Sunday night at 7 o'clock with his Liberty Unbridled. In the meantime, that's it for me this week. You guys enjoy the rest of your week, and I'll see you on Monday. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Take care.